Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We will unite at the beginning of the service day for a mutual morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through your Jesus, your beloved Son, that you protected me through the last night from all danger and evil. Protect me also today from sin and all evil, so that all that I do, my life, my entire life, would be that which you desire. I will give myself, my body and soul, and all into your hands. May your holy angels be with me, so that the evil enemy would have no power over me. Amen. From the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we shall hear from verse 25 on. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Dear service guests, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I have been much under pressure and having burdens on me come to this place, and I would like to ask, can I believe all my sins and needless worries forgiven? I desire to believe and trust that Heavenly Father shall give that which we need today. We heard about Simeon here, who came affected by the Spirit to the temple when Joseph and Mary brought newborn child Jesus according to the commandment of the law. Why and how did Simeon able to come there and distinguish this one child from all the other people there? The Bible does not tell us anything more about it, other than the Holy Spirit was with him and the Holy Spirit guided him there. And what made him to say, as he was holding child Jesus, that my eyes have now seen your salvation? This leads us to such a question, that how does God open human's eyes and understanding to see, to believe, and to comprehend the kingdom of God and its King, Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible depicts this with this picture of seeing, and as a contrast, it talks about blindness, and also speaks of light and its opposite, darkness. Have you seen or been with a blind person? I remember from my study times in Helsinki, I needed a bigger vehicle for moving, and a certain family then borrowed me one. They had one, and the father of the family was blind. And now, when because of his invalidity, their vehicle was tax-free, and this blind man father had to be with when I drove the vehicle. And then I thought it's fine that I drive and the father is next to me. But it happened to be the opposite way. The blind man told me, now in the next one you take a turn to right, and then we will go for a little while, and then we take a left, and so on. And I marveled at this. Here a seeing person drives and blind steers. That Helsinki city map was so well imprinted into his mind so that he could detect based on the movements of the vehicle that where we were going. And I, who was not so familiar with the street map of Helsinki, probably would have gotten lost very soon. It's a good picture of this, how, what a difference there is when God opens through faith one's eyes to see, and of this, that when we try to see with our temporal eyes and with our understanding of flesh, try to understand those which are of the Spirit of God. Jesus healed a blind person, and in that connection, a discussion ensued. Jesus said that I have come for judgment into this world, that those who see would see, would do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And then he speaks to the Pharisees. If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt or sin remains. It became apparent that which Jesus spoke at the in Nazareth, that they would see and would not be able to see. They would listen but would not be able to hear, referring to the prophet Isaiah. And it's good for us to remember the psalm writers for, Lord, open my eyes to see the marvels of your law. What does it say in our catechism in the third article of the Creed explanation, I believe that I cannot of my own strength, of my own understanding, to believe in Jesus Christ and to come to him. But the Holy Spirit has, through the gospel, called me and enlightened me, sanctifies and protects me in the only true faith. Jesus also spoke a parable of that guest who came to the wedding of the king's son. And when he was there at the wedding celebration, he had no wedding garment, and he was spoken to. He was speechless. He was then thrown into outer darkness. It is important that we have that garment, those clothes of righteousness, which are given unto us in the kingdom of God, and that it does not happen of our own strength or own understanding, but it is given by God through the gospel, when in Jesus' name and atonement blood we are preached forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit ignites faith in our heart. That is when the clothes of righteousness are put on us, which are acceptable to God. Then our eyes also open, get opened to see that which is of God and what which is of this world. Saul of Tarsus was one of those who certainly thought in his heart, as Jesus had said, that if you say that you see, sin remains in you. In his own righteousness, he had persecuted the disciples of Jesus. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He looked at that when Stephen, on his knees, prayed on behalf of those who stoned him. And on the road to Damascus, Lord Jesus appeared unto him and spoke unto him, Saul, Saul, I am Lord Jesus whom you persecute. It is in vain for you to kick against the pricks. And he became blind, and his travel companions led him to Damascus, where Ananias, a disciple, came to him and put his hands on him and preached the gospel. And Luke, the writer of the Acts, writes that it was as if the scales fell off Saul's eyes. He was able to see. What did he see? It then showed in his life. He was joined into that throng of the disciples, and they became dear to him, those whom he had previously, because of his unbelief, persecuted. Lestadius also tells of receiving the grace of repentance through the picture of seeing. When he had met Lapis Mary, and then later writes about it, he describes it that through that simple Lapis girl had such experiences about the order of grace, which I had never before heard about. Even though he as a priest had taught this Lutheran order of grace as a priest, awakening, repentance, faith, and fruits of faith for 18 years in a duty of priest, I had never heard. And then he continues that depiction, description, that Lapis Mary had traveled long ways in seeking for light from the darkness. And during her travels, she had finally come to Nora to Pastor Brandel. And when she opened her heart to him, Pastor Brandel relieved her of doubts, and through him she was able to join in the living faith. And then Lestadius describes, here now sits one Mary at the feet of Jesus, and only now, I thought, only now can I see that path that leads to life. Here he used that picture of seeing, only now do I see the path that leads to life. It has been hidden from me until then, when I was able to discuss with Mary. Then he describes in a beautiful way how he remembers this poor girl all his lifetime and hopes to see her on the other side of the grave. What causes a person to become awakened and wakes one up to see this, that I am blind and seeking for help? In the case of Saul, it spoke to him when he saw Stephen's stoning and his love toward his adversaries. Awakening was taking place there when Jesus said to him, it is in vain that you fight against the pricks. Luther also had become awakened in his conscience to his exhaustion. How would he become acceptable to God? And this message from the kingdom of God that includes both the word of truth of this, that this world is in the darkness, but also the word of grace, that to the blind the gospel belongs and the opening of their eyes belongs to. Apostle writes that you are. So Jesus' disciples, you are letters by Christ, which all the people see and read. I remember from my own life when I was being spoken to and approached. One occasion was taking place at the old church in Helsinki. It was a communion occasion. Next to me, there was a young couple getting ready for the communion. And for the first time in my life, I saw and I heard how the man said to his wife, can I believe all my sins forgiven? And the wife said to the man, in Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven, and vice versa. how it spoke to me, how it spoke to the awakened heart, which when my earlier my believing friend had written to me that you would need to repent. That had caused my heart to become awakened, and it felt that I did not have that which the others had, and I searched and reached out for something, and soon I began to start seeing that which my heart yearned for. And above all, then when I was asked that question, that do you want to believe all your sins forgiven? I could not say anything but that there is that yearning in my heart. I want to. And when I was being preached that too, that you can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, my eyes got opened to see the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of grace is here, and it is good to be here. Now in my heart there is such a feeling or state as if I had found my way back home. And I remember how I had also doubts in the beginning that can it be so? And even then I remember that one time I was there at the Habs at some place, evening visiting occasion, when a brother, travel friend, was speaking of his difficulties. He was in distress over his own sins and sinfulness, and the gospel was preached to him, and he was relieved of that distress. That spoke much more to me than any teaching of this world or a sensible speech. And in this way I received the strengthening and assurance of the Holy Spirit that herein is the kingdom of God. I remember a few years ago in Helsinki, at the Helsinki Cathedral, there was a communion service during the summer services, and the church was completely full. The people were also on the hallways, and it's a tourist church, and the doors are open. The guests can come even during the mass there, and there's just a sign that do not bother the service. Communion was taking place. The lines were forming up to the communion table, and the people sang songs of Zion and hymns. It was completely full of people, mainly young people, children, and some older ones also, and the song carried out very strongly and in a touching ways. Every now and then the organist stopped playing and we would sing without the organ. And on the line to communion, people came, embraced each other and asked for forgiveness of sins. And from the communion, people returned with the tears of joy in their eyes. Some tourists would hold their cell phone in the air and would video the church and the beautiful architecture as if there was nothing taking place there. But then I remember how a young man stopped at the hallway and looked, and he listened for a long time. At least 15 minutes he was looking at the altar and listened. And then his friend came next to him. I couldn't hear what they were discussing, but it seemed like the other friend wanted to go already. But this young man said that he wants to stay here to watch and listen. I wanted to go talk to him later and ask that, what did you see and what did you hear? That occasion did not take place. Then he left somewhere. But I thought that, did he see and did he hear one as I did once at that old church? Was his heart awakened? Was he able to hear the gospel, which opens, which enlightens, sanctifies, calls, and protects in one true faith? This is how it was also for the travelers to Emmaus when Jesus resurrected appears unto them, and they walked towards Emmaus, and resurrected Jesus was with his doubting disciples. And then when he broke bread with them, their eyes were opened and they saw, this is the Lord. And Luke writes, then he disappeared from them. And they hastily went back to Jerusalem and told, we saw the Lord. And this is how it was for Thomas when he was doubting. When he was told that we have seen the resurrected Lord, he said, unless I see, I believe. And Thomas was given an opportunity to see the resurrected Lord. He showed his arms and his side, put your fingers to my arms and side. And Jesus said, blessed are you when you see and believe, but blessed are those who do not see but yet believe. This is also for us, children of God, important that we preserve this ability to see and hear. To see or believe the kingdom of God and to hear the real voice of the good shepherd. The enemy of the soul tries to dim this ability to see through sin and take the ability and the desire to listen this world and our own flesh tempt us still today. There in America once at the confirmation camp, we were practicing this kind of endeavor of a Christian. I brought this long yarn into the nature. It was about 100 meters long, and the big brothers and sisters were given a task to divide this group into two, and everyone will go as a pair, and one person gets blindfolded, and then the other one will lead. And whoever is blindfolded holds on to the yarn. And then the seeing one will guide the blindfolded one. And then I told that let's have this kind of places where there's stumbling areas of stumbling and uphill, and then there's a temptation to give up of that yarn or line, and then there are places where there's refreshment or, you know, sermon, and then there's a place where one is given a backpack full of rocks, this kind of exercises. And so the one who was leading would lead the blinded one and tell that, lift your foot up there and here, and telling that what was there ahead of him. And then when one, the blindfolded, stumbled, the other one would support and tell that, get up, and encouraged that, keep with your arm of faith, hold on to that line, which is Christ. And then there were temptations where the big brothers and sisters would tell that, let go of that yarn a little bit farther away, and it is candy for you. But then one who was traveling next to the blindfolded one would tell that, do not give up, do not listen. And then we came to the place where I had given a big brother duty, who said that, I said that, give a sermon. He said, I'm not a speaker, I don't know how to speak. I told him, yes, you can. You know, tell of this, of what you can see. What do you see on this journey? And I came to hear and listen, or see and listen, when this brother, in all his weakness, preached that, I see the end of this journey. There's no longer a long way. Just a little way, if you have the strength to go, then there will be the destination. Keep on, hold on, and have strength for the journey. There were still some other challenge before the end. But then when the travel ended, and those who were able to let go of that yarn, and the blindfold was removed, they were able to then see able to be transferred from believing to seeing. And then there was some picture of heaven. There was some cookie and pop available in that joy of heaven. Dear brothers and sisters, young and old ones, it is a precious gift of God that you and I have this kind of an eye of faith, open to see the grace kingdom of God here in this world. Let us hold on to that, even though we stumble at times, even though we at times have burdens which we need to remove from the backpack, so that we would have strength to continue. Let us have strength to say no to those temptations which would take from this blessedness into the world. And even though those fallings would take place, that we would have the strength to hear, even though we would not be able to see, if that hearing would remain, that hear what the Spirit speaks unto the churches, that we would have strength to listen to the travel on friends and the congregation of God, what is said in there, what is heard there. The voice of the Good Shepherd is heard there. All sins and travel faults are, you are able to believe, even at this moment, forgiven in Jesus' holy name and precious atonement blood. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. all sins forgiven. You have a permission to believe all sins forgiven. All sins are forgiven. To you, my listener, whose life has been touched by God in such a way that you have been able to feel that you are blind and do not see the kingdom of God. Maybe you are searching for peace into your conscience. Be emboldened, you also, in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. All sins forgiven now, unbelief and all sins. And the Spirit of God's Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see that blessedness which Simeon once was able to see. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You can go into peace. You can, God's peace, joy, and in your heart, you can continue to travel on together with travel friends to heaven's home. When you have been able to behold with the eyes of faith that Lord and Savior who is among us, even at this moment and today, my salvation, my blessedness, my Savior. In Jesus' name, Amen.